John is an author of Expert Networking Secrets Exposed in Plain English. John offers social media, lead generation, social networking, and business networking coaching services to professionals and businesses of all sizes. Compelled to serve and assist, John has also authored The Rapport Superstar, Blueprint for Networking Success, and Top 50 Ways to Maximize LinkedIn for Business. John hosts business networking events and workshops online and in person, teaching professionals effective business relationships practices enhanced through social media. John is the top business networking expert author on ezinearticles.com, and his works have been published on thousands of worldwide web publications. I'd like to officially welcome John to the show. How you doing, John?
Very good. Thank you. Thank you.
That's quite a dossier.
Great introduction.
As I was going to say, that's quite a dossier. We're glad to have you on the show. As I've heard my audience tell me, less of me and more of you. So we're going to jump right into tonight's show. And I want to start, John, by having you kind of walk us through the title of the show, which is The 5 Steps of Creating a Powerful Business Network. So I'll let you take it from here by going through the steps. And what I'll have everybody do is if you are interested in calling in to the show, call in. The number is 347-838-9979. Press the number 1 on your keypad. And as I mentioned, I'll get to you right away. So, John, let's just start right there as you go through what those steps look like.
One of the biggest complaints, I guess, that I get is that a person goes into networking thinking, I'm going to go in, I'm going to have that spirit of giving, and I'm going to be completely the giver. I think in B&I they say giver's gain. So they go in with that mentality and end up doing a bunch of favors for people and not really getting anything in return for those favors. And I mean business favors. I mean sometimes people drop their rates or give a free service because they feel that the other person is going to reciprocate exactly in the same way. That doesn't usually happen. But I do agree with having a giving personality when you or intention when you go into business networking. So I think that one of the biggest things, and I discussed it in the Rapport Superstar, Blueprint for Networking Success, the very first step is to identify the primary networking partners and the contacts and the potential clients in your industry. For example, when people go into networking events, there's tons and tons of networking events out there where you'll go and it'll be kind of a general networking event. All industries are invited. It's usually, they usually have these in the evening. Sometimes they have breakfast meetings, but there are general networking events out there. In case anyone didn't know, I'm sure if this is salespeople, you know about these events. And people feel that these events aren't as effective for them. And one of the reasons why is because the person didn't identify who the networking partners and contacts and clients are before they go. So the first thing to do is to examine your industry. For example, if you are and I'm going to use myself for an example because BizEvents is we're in the event industry. So the event in the event industry, a great partner for me as far as my business events go would be caterers, people who like venue hosts, people who manage venues, people because for example, if I want to throw an event, I'd like to go and have as many venues as I possibly can that are nice that are going to be accommodating to business people when they come to my events. I'd like to meet maybe people who like to work the desk. When people walk into a networking event, there's usually a greeter there. So I guess a person in the greeting industry. Also, just as far as the event industry goes, I mean, there's a lot of supplements to the event industry, like wedding planners, DJs, lighting people, even event planners, certified event planners. So all of these people can kind of help each other as far as being contacts to each other. Another thing is that all these people in the certain industry usually have some kind of client base or connection that someone else within their industry can use. So that's where I think it can help in getting referrals. If you go in with that kind of targeting, when you get into a networking event that has just various occupations and industries in there, you'll be able to identify, oh, this person is in my target. This person is in the same industry as I am, and they are you know, they probably have clients that could use my services as well. So then, you know, joint ventures can come to mind as well. But being that because you're all dealing, you know, with the same industry, it really helps you. It really can help you out as far as clients, contacts, and having partners.
So it's almost like, John, it's almost like you're strategizing in terms of targeting. So it's not just haphazardly going to events, but knowing what type of event you're going to and knowing that, you know, this is going to be an event where I may see potential customers or clients and that kind of thing. So almost you're almost targeting, I guess, is what you're trying to say too, right?
Definitely targeting. And
okay.
The first thing, one of the first things in marketing is one of the first lessons that you learn is to target. Is
right.
To be really precise about who your target is. And
mm-hmm.
I don't want to mislead people to say to not go to the general networking events and just stick to industry ones. I'm just saying that the reason is this, is because when you go to a general networking event, you can meet let's say if you're a lawyer and you're looking for contract clients for city contracts and so on, you can meet a dentist or a chiropractor who can lead you to clients as well. So, but that once again, now that goes back to what I said in the beginning. It's the relationship. It's just
right.
That you're just more likely to, you know, fall into the introductions and the need for your service if you're dealing with someone that's in the same industry and making alliances in that way.
Okay,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. The second step in the identifying the primary networking partners would be to ask, like, who have you or your company had the most success with. This is one of the ways to identify your partners and your clients and so on. Whatever client that you've had the most success with, that's actually a good idea to kind of look at that. And if you do that, if you've had the most success with a certain area of a client, then it may be a good idea to find out now where those people are and how you can meet with more of those people, because those people are more likely to be your clients because you've already had success with people in that category.
Hey, John, can you give us an example of that, like a specific example? Just name off an industry, be more specific.
Well, I guess an example, if you've had success with, if you're I'm trying to think really specific right now. If you're actually a real estate agent and you're selling commercial properties and you have found doctors looking for space to open their doctor's office, let's say dentists. I'll use dentists as an example again. For dentists, if you found dentists to be your the most success, obviously you have clients in many different categories, but you find that dentists seem to be your hot spot. You know, you have all these clients that are in dentists. So the thing is, you're saying now, I'd like to target dentists, so I need to meet a lot more dentists. Now is the time to look into the dental industry and who are the supporting partners of the dental industry. I can't right now, but I'm thinking, I'm sure that there are insurance providers, medical insurance providers that would service to dentists. So if you can find where those people are, you know, or find the events that those people would go to, you may be, and obviously, once again, build alliances with those people. You're actually going in the right direction. Does that make sense?
Yep, that's a good idea. Yep.
Yeah. So that's one example. The other thing is, if you're a B2B, then who are the clients of your clients? If you have clients, this once again, it taps into targeting. If you have clients, you know, your clients of your clients could also be a supplement to your business as well. So it's kind of like I would go looking for those people who, you know, service your clients because, you know, those are going to get you more clients like the ones you have. And you can also start a kind of a referral exchange as well. It's very possible there if you're doing that with the clients that you already have. What kind of client wouldn't like you to actually be giving them business as well, even though you're servicing them? So that's actually a supplement as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay.
Okay. The next thing would be businesses.
I'm writing down as I'm listening to. I'm trying to engage with you, John. And I'm writing down at the same time, so I hope my audience is writing all these down. But I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. And also, you have to ask which businesses can benefit by adding your product or service as a supplement. That's actually a good way to once again to identify who you need to meet. You know, if you have a service, because, I mean, joint ventures are, I mean, I think it's one of the cornerstones of actually building a business, is, you know, partnering with someone and building your business together, finding out what their goals are and what your goals are, and actually, you know, doing things together as joint ventures. So whatever business that you're in, you know, ask yourself, who can use my business as an attachment to theirs, or vice versa. And then once again, when you make that list, you'll be able to identify who those people that you need to meet are. So those are I guess, five good ways to get in and first of all, identify who you actually need to meet and begin to target your networking. But you have to look really closely. It does take time. It doesn't have to take, you know, hours and hours to do this. But, you know, sitting down with a piece of paper I never write anymore. I always use the computer. I use Word or Notepad or something to type it in. But, you know, how long does it take to sit there and just make an outline of, think of 10 or 20 different businesses that are related to yours and that are in your industry that, you know, you can meet and create alliances with? That's a pretty powerful network when you have alliances within your own industry and you're constantly exchanging clients and referrals.
Yeah. No, it goes back to the beginning where we talked about. I mean, there's obviously a strategy that goes in place, and like I said earlier in my opening, you know, I'll be honest with you, networking to me was just either going on some of these social websites or just going into an event, and quite frankly, just haphazardly trying to meet as many people as you can. And you pretty much outlined, John, no, that's not necessarily effective networking. There's a strategy, and as you've kind of gone through, there's a targeting method to this quote-unquote madness, which sounds great.
Right. That's kind of a network marketing strategy as well.
Right.
Network marketing or MLM will always say, meet anybody. Anybody can do this business, so just meet anyone. So, you know,
right.
So that's exactly what an MLMer does. They'll go in and they'll meet anyone. But, you know, as I said, if you can become an expert relationship builder, then that strategy of haphazardly going in can work. But now you have to, and I have more steps outlined, you know, where you can actually even make that work. But I think just if you're super targeted, you don't have a lot of time, I think that the targeted method is the way to go.
Yeah, beautiful. You want to get into those other steps, or
sure?
Go
okay,
ahead.
Number two. So
yeah.
Number one, and I'll go back and outline these when I get done. The second step is to locate all the places online and offline where they're likely to migrate. All the people that once you identify who the networking partners are and the potential clients and contacts, you want to find the places where they're going to be. And as I said earlier, any kind of industry-centric event. To find industry-centric events, I didn't have this plan that I was going to say this, but everybody's familiar with Google and the search engines. So it's really easy to kind of go to Google and put into parentheses whatever your industry is, and then type in events. You know, you can type in, for example, event industry, comma, networking events in Philadelphia, since it covers, could be anywhere. Obviously, I have listeners from all over the place, but
it could be
just Philadelphia. And that's a good way to now narrow it down to try to find the events that are in, you know, a certain area. So once you can do that, and there's a bunch of events websites, mine included, that list business events and just general events in any area that you happen to be in. I think in the UK there's also events websites. There's Ecademy, which I'll get into that later. That's like the UK LinkedIn.
Right.
But, you know, there's a bunch of places where you can find events. But the thing is, you got to get out. I have to say that emphatically, that you have to get out and get into the mix, you know, when you're going to find events. You have to get out and meet people.
Right.
So any kind of industry-centric event, you know, that you're looking for. Social events are likely to include your defined targets. So when you find your defined targets, it's not only business events that I'm suggesting that you go to, but it's also social events that your target individuals may be.
Right.
You probably asked me for an example. An example? Were you going to ask me for an example?
Yeah, I was thinking that, John, but you beat me to the punch.
Okay.
That's okay. That's all right.
Saying, what's a good example of that? Well, let me think. Social events that include the defined targets, for example, now golf, obviously it's not an event, but it's a good activity to go where you may find a lot of doctors and lawyers and so on. This is a little bit of a difficult category to kind of break down, because you're thinking, okay, where my target is small business owners. Where are they going out to actually socialize? Well, in that case, they could be anywhere.
Right.
You know, I guess it's business event wise, you know, obviously small business events are the place to go to find those people. So the social events, I guess in general, you would think that the way that you can do it is to think about the annual income. Some events where the annual income of an individual would be a certain amount, and they would be at a certain event, if that makes sense. Like, for example, there's an admission to a social event that you think, okay, who can afford to go to this kind of event? I bet there'll be a lot of fill-in-the-blank at this event. So you can kind of say, okay, well, I think that there would probably be a lot of people in this target at this event, so I'll go to this event. And, you know, once you get there, obviously, your relationship skills are going to have to take over.
Right.
You know, because now it's not one of those things where, you know, you go to a social event, you talk to people. To get to the point where you're exchanging information, it just takes a little more skill, you know, to do that. Because, you know, if you're at an event, you're ready to give your card away, you know, and your information away. But if you're at a social event, a person might be looking at you strange, thinking, why does this person want my phone number, you know? So in that case, you know, it's just a matter of skill.
Go ahead, John. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say it's almost kind of like you're almost doing a customer segmentation now, because you're looking at different personalities of the potential clients that you have. Let's say you're in the hardware store business. Well, you know, I've never had any association with the hardware store business, but the assumption is that building is probably an interest. So if you found an activity, a social activity that's related to, let's say, building, that might give you an idea. Or if it's just gathering word of mouth or finding out where your customers go to quote-unquote play, could also provide you another hint of where, you know, they could be from a social event standpoint. But it goes back to, again, what we talked about earlier, strategizing in terms of, you know, kind of peeling back the onion and finding out where do folks go that is of interest to them, that is somehow, I guess, goes back to relating to what they do for a living. So that seems like that does take a lot of strategy.
Absolutely, it definitely does. But you know, once you build your skill, obviously it's not finite. You know, it's not limited to what we say here. But
right.
There's a bunch of ways, you know, a person with an imagination can think to find social events that their target may be at. It may be as simple as just going out to a restaurant or something.
Yeah.
You know, where they think that you know, that, for example, as I said, looking at the annual income, as simple as going out to a restaurant and just meeting people that way. You know, that's one of the ways to do it. The other thing, now that's physically getting up and going out. That's actually, you know, in real life, getting up, going out, finding places. That's one way to do it. Now the other thing is online, which is online nowadays because of social media, and that's, you know, that's one of the things my company specializes in, as well as live events, also social media networking and lead generation, social media lead generation. And that is online. There's tons and tons of discussion groups which are industry centric as well. There's just a numerous amount of discussion groups. And a great place to find these are on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
If everyone should be familiar with LinkedIn.com. Ecademy.com is the LinkedIn for the UK and for Europe. Facebook fan pages, and I get into that in a second about Facebook fan pages, because the strategy when you're going into online discussion groups is to locate, once again, the people that you are looking to do business with in some way, partners, contacts, or just clients, or just to have them in your business network. When you get on LinkedIn, for example, you can go to groups, create your LinkedIn profile and go to groups, and then you can just type in what industry you're in or industry that you're looking to sell to. Now, one of the mistakes that people make when they do this is that they get into the LinkedIn groups and they're thinking, I'm a salesman, so I'm going to get in there and I'm going to just get in and, you know, I'm going to pitch what I have, I'm going to put my offers up and so on and so forth. And that you can do that, but you have to remember how people are going to react to your posts for sale.
Right,
right. 10 other guys or 100 other guys that are doing the same thing. Not to mention the person who runs that discussion group, these posts as well. And now you can be, you know, into the spam category, and you can get kicked out of the group.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, John, but I was just going to say, okay. I've seen in situations where folks have gotten kicked out of groups, and I have my own group done on LinkedIn, and I've had to kick out a couple of folks who have come on, and I can block them even before they start the discussion because I can see the discussion. And you're right, that absolutely happens, and you get people coming on that don't necessarily have anything to say in terms of a subject matter but are trying to sell their wares. But I was going to say, you can't kick them out, but I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, it's like the equivalent of a person who goes to a networking event and goes in and says, hi, how you doing, Andre? My name is John, and I sell social media services, and I throw networking events. And I want to know, does your company need an event right now? Because we could do this and that. And then I go into this long pitch about what it needs, and then you're saying, I'm not even interested
right.
in an event. But, you know, he's been talking to me for 10 minutes about how great, you know, he can do an event, but you're not interested. So it's the equivalent of that person who goes to networking events to sell and doesn't want to develop the relationship. So I guess one of the pieces of advice, I guess, which a lot of people may or may not know, when you go to a networking event, you know, you want to just shake hands, say hello, and there's some really good key questions that you can ask just to get a dialogue going. And one of the things, once you get the dialogue going, you want to kind of ask yourself, who am I? Who do I have chemistry with?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. Another thing that I think a lot of people in my workshops and so on, they'll ask is they'll say, you know, I try to network with all these people and it didn't work. And then I'm asking, well, who did you have the most chemistry with? Because as you networking, relationship building actually is something that we've all been doing our whole life, but we just have never been strategic at it. So it's really the same thing, but with a little bit of strategy.
Yeah.
So when you get into these networking events and you're talking to people and you're going to follow up and talk to them later on, you obviously have to think, you know, this person was in my industry. They might have clients that I can use and vice versa, and they can be a great contact, but I really honestly didn't like this person. You know, I didn't like the way I felt from talking to them.
Right.
I didn't like the they said, whatever the case may be. If you didn't feel comfortable with that person, you know, it's almost going to be like pulling teeth to now go back and follow up and try to create a relationship with somebody that you just really have no chemistry with anyway. You know, so that's one of the things, and that's like I said, that all goes back to like the, you know, the forcing things to happen, like the guy that's trying to sell in the groups, the guy that's trying to sell at the networking events. The other thing, the fourth thing in locating the places where they'll migrate is to establish contacts for introductions. Use your established contacts for introductions. Now, for example, you can go online, you can go into the groups to the discussions, or go to the live events and find people that are, you know, they're in your category. Or you can already use the contacts that you already have now that you very importantly have identified who you're looking to meet and connect with. You can go to your contacts. You can either give them a phone call or you can send them an email or whatever and ask, who do you know who, fill in the blank. Is in this.
I
was going to say, especially if you don't even know that person. I mean, you're inquiring them to provide you information without knowing them. Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's when they really won't read the email. But
that's
five things. You know, just like five things that say, do you know anybody who, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Thanks a lot. You know, if you can help me out, great. You know, otherwise, you know, it's great. We're great. We're connected, and so on and so forth. And I have many examples. I teach that as well of the pre-written emails that you can send thousands of people that, you know, but they're personalized. And so, you know, something that you can actually be, you'll be building a business network, a strong business network that way, because the people who actually respond, now, you know, you can take it to the next level, which I'm going to get to in a second, as far as, you know, make doing things, actions that make the relationship stronger.
Okay. Okay, I just want go ahead, John. I just want to remind everybody, again, if you'd like to call in, the number to call in, if you have a question for John, the number to call in is 347-838-9979. Press the number 1 on your keypad. That'll notify me that you have a question, and I'll get you on right away. I'm sure everybody's probably writing things down as opposed to wanting to call in, but that's okay. I just want to make sure that that's open to you.